we do. We work and we grind and we play.
Let's go! Let's go! Bring it up! Bring it up! Bring it up!
The shoulder pads were on, which means the intensity level upped just that much more between players and coaches. And you can feel we are now just 12 days away from that first preseason game. Welcome into the UC Health Training Center, everybody. I'm Matt Boyer, joined by Phil Milani. This is the Broncos Training Camp Daily. And Phil, we're indoors. A little weather outside.
A little weather came through. It's all good.
But a little bit of a different practice today because we saw one-on-one drills for the first time. As I mentioned, players wearing shoulder pads. So it took on a little bit of a different feel, didn't it?
Yeah, it was cool. You got to see the D-line and the O-line go after each other. Those sessions were pretty live and intense. And then on the other side, you got to see wide receivers going against the secondary. Really good chance to see what the quarterbacks were able to do today as well.
A lot of the guys out there, only one missing, Bernard Pierce with a hamstring injury. Of course, Shane Ray, we mentioned it yesterday, going to be out 6 to 8 weeks with that wrist fracture. So that means the Broncos adding Danny Mason right before practice today. Phil, when you look at that linebacker spot, what do you see as far as the depth chart? I know Kasim Edebali, Vontarius Dora, a couple guys that are making a name for themselves.
Yeah, Kasim Edebali is going to be the guy for now. You know, he came in, I think head coach Vance Joseph afterwards said that they brought him in because he can pass the rush the passer. So he's going to be the guy first up playing alongside Von Miller, but it's also a tremendous opportunity for Vontarius Dora.
When you see a guy go down those backups, they always think that maybe this is their shot. No different for Kasim Edebali and Vontarius Dora, who know the next man up philosophy. It's definitely in play.
We signed Edebali because he was a relentless rusher in New Orleans. So far he's showed that. I mean, he's a hard worker. He's a big body. So, until Shane and Shaq's back, he'll be fine. You know, he was signed because he can rush the passer. So that's what those guys do for a living. So we feel good about him.
You know, I'm just ready to step up. It's kind of been my mantra my whole career. If somebody goes down, 91 is caught, give it all you got. I'm very confident. And definitely with guys like Vaughn, you know, every day I learn more and more. You know, everybody on this team, you just kind of like a sponge. You suck certain things up and then you learn more and I'm just ready to go.
Next man up, you know, opportunity for me. But, you know, I'm just going to work my butt off of that spot, you know. Shane's a great guy, and it just hurts to see somebody go down like that, especially a teammate. So, you know, we just, you know, praying everything goes well, come back early and help our football team.
So Edebali and Dora, two guys very much in the know when it comes to thinking, yep, this is our time. Another guy, though, who very much knows his opportunity is at hand, Lorenzo Doss. We saw him all over the ball today.
Yeah, a pass rusher. The depth is really thin there, and it's sort of a concern right now. But on the back end and the secondary, definitely not a concern. A guy like Lorenzo Doss, that guy is always around the football somehow. He might be a starter elsewhere in the league, and the Broncos are lucky to have him in the secondary behind the no-fly zone. A lot of depth there, and Doss really showed what he's capable of today out at the practice field.
Whether it be pass breakups or interceptions, like Phil mentioned, Lorenzo Doss always around the football. And he attributes that, though, to two main factors.
I'm continuing to lock in, listen to the vets, Akib and Chris and Bradley Roby, and just learn and continue to listen to the coaches in the meeting room and just come out here and perform. I'm heavy on film, and I'm just working each and every day and be physical with the receivers, and when the opportunity arrives, I got to make the play. You can always take a game to a whole nother level. I'm just working on just keep getting my hands on the rock, making intercepts, and just keep grinding.
So, Doss, a ball hawk because of film study, coaching, teammates, it's all coming together for him right now. And one of the things that I thought was interesting was he mentioned those leaders. Chris Harris, Akib Talib, and we're also seeing some leaders come from many different places. Some of the new guys on the Broncos, Domantas Peko and Ronald Leary.
Yeah, right up on the offensive line, we saw them going one-on-one against each other today. Cool to see two of the bigger guys on this team, Domantas Peko and Ron Leary, going at it. But they said that right now it's a time to learn from each other. You know, they're enemies right now, but they're also picking up things from each other. And it's going to be key along that offensive line with so many different players shuffling in, you know, three of the five are going to be new probably this year. So to have a leader like Ron Leary come in and bring the group together, that's key. And then on the other side of the ball, we know about the run struggles that the Broncos had last season. Having a run stuffer, a big guy like Domantas Peko, his 12th season in the league, a lot of leadership, a lot of knowledge there that he could pass along.
Yeah, as you mentioned it, today was one of the first times that we saw some really solid contact when offense and defensive lines were meeting in the middle. And as Phil mentioned, Domantas Peko by himself has 12 years of veteran experience, so it's no wonder why Ronald Leary and Domantas are having a pretty easy time taking up those leadership roles.
Man, I played against him last year, so I already know what he brings to the D line. So, you know, when they brought him in, I was real happy because I know he's a great guy, great player, great leader. So, you know, we've had some great battles, and they're only going to get better. But it's going to help both of us, you know, the O-line and D-line get better and get ready for Sundays.
Me and Leary always talk after practice, like, hey, man, you know, we work on our techniques. Like, hey, how'd you do this on me? Or, what, you know, we always ask each other questions. And that's what it's about, man. It's about getting each other ready because when we play on Sunday, we're not playing against the Broncos. We're playing against other teams, you know. So we want to sharpen each other up and get each other better. And it's been a great process.
Domantas Peko also saying that the coaches have told him he looks much younger than his 12-year NFL veteran status. But the man to my left also knows a little something about looking young and feeling young. Our Broncos insider, Steve Atwater. Steve, what's the key to, you know, staying healthy, looking young? Because, I mean, you had a very long and productive NFL career.
Yeah, I would say more importantly than anything is that you take care of your body. You take it seriously. You eat a proper diet and, of course, work out on a regular basis.
The guys on Steve's A-list also looking to have very productive and long NFL careers. And, Steve, we start on the offensive line for the offensive A-lister.
Yes, my Atwater's A-list for today on the offensive side of the ball is Allen Barber. We just acquired Allen a couple of days ago. He's played his last 4 years with the Philadelphia Eagles. We're happy to have him. He's a 6'4", 310-pound offensive guard. I saw him in practice today. A couple of linebackers were blitzing, and he stopped them in their tracks. I also saw him on another play where he pulled as a pulling guard, and he actually put someone on their rear end. So I'm looking forward to him doing big things once we get the pads on.
Your other A-lister, not 6'4", 300 pounds. He's under 6 feet, maybe under 200 pounds. Who do you got?
Well, we have Isaiah McKenzie. He's our fifth-round draft choice out of the University of Georgia. Very explosive player. On several punt returns today, you heard the crowds going crazy, and if you looked on the field, you'll see why. He really did a great job of securing the ball, and then once securing it, turning up the field, finding the lanes, and running full speed. Coach Vance Joseph said that he's one of the most mature rookies that he's seen. He also is happy that what he saw on film is being translated over to the field and says he's a tough guy. And now we'll see tomorrow, once we put the pads on, if he's as tough as we think he is.
With a guy that short, you were tall for your position. Isaiah, obviously, shorter for his position. What's the most difficult thing about trying to tackle a guy like that?
Well, he's so quick, and he can change directions really quickly. So defenders must come down and break down. If you don't break down on this guy, you're going to miss him.
Steve, great insight as always. If you want to hear Steve tomorrow, of course, 1 to 3 p.m. on Orange and Blue Radio, all throughout training camp and also on the iHeart Radio app. Steve, one of the many famous faces, as we've mentioned, that we've been seeing, lots of celebrities and some of them national media members. Our own Phil Milani caught up with ESPN's Beth Owens, who's going to have the call for the Broncos home opener come September 11th.
How does it feel to be the first woman to call a regular season game since the 80s?
Well, it's exciting, and I understand the significance of it and the importance of it, and hopefully it's encouraging for any young boy or girl out there that has a dream they want to chase. But I'm as excited being a football fan and growing up my whole life watching Monday Night Football to get an opportunity to be a part of that franchise is going to be a thrill.
What kind of challenges do you face being a woman in such a male-dominated industry?
You know, I've been lucky all my life. I've had wonderful support from guys, whether it's my dad and my brothers growing up. I've had wonderful mentors throughout my career at Lafayette College and then at Syracuse, where there were guys like Mike Tirico and Sean McDonough who have both sat in this chair, and so they've been great about sharing some of the important things about preparation. So I've been real fortunate. I've had good people around me my whole career, and you know, the focus for me has always been earning the respect of the people that I work with and that are on my team, and that's all I kind of focus on.
Do you feel like you might be blazing a trail, so to speak, for young women out there?
I think if that's what they take away from it, then that's great. I'm really just focused on the day-to-day and anxious to talk a lot more about football than about myself. having played college basketball, I've always felt like that was an advantage to sort of, you know, take me inside the locker room, take me inside the importance of team chemistry and team building this time of year. So I love coming out to camp and getting a chance to mix and mingle with players and coaches and fans. And, you know, it's just the build up to opening night, which is exciting for everybody.
Your partner for this, Rex Ryan, what's it like working with a big personality like that?
Rex and I had a chance to work the Florida State spring game, which was a blast. He is obviously knows his football, and he's eager to learn the TV side of it. So we have a couple of other practice games coming up in the preseason, and just kind of building team chemistry and getting Rex more and more comfortable with the technology in the booth. And I think he's going to be fantastic, and certainly his connections with Anthony Lynn, the Chargers coach, one of his former assistants, I think we'll have great storytelling going on Monday.
Knowing the AFC West, what do you think about this matchup? A big one to get the season started.
You know, I think it was the most competitive and arguably the toughest division in football last year, and it certainly looks like with the offseason improvements that the Broncos and the Chargers have made, it's going to be the same this year, probably with just two teams making it again. So the fight is on, and I think it's great for the NFL when you've got quality out west like this division right now, and it's going to be fantastic for the fans.
Well, it's always fun when Phillip Rivers comes to town, so it'll be a big game. Beth, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Our thanks to Beth Mowins. Again, you can hear Beth and Rex Ryan. Going to be a great broadcast for you on ESPN's Monday Night Football call of the Broncos home opener. Before that, though, we need to get to Andrew Mason to talk about those position battles that we've been talking about all camp long, Mace. Mm-hmm. Today we're going to do the tight ends, because this is a group that has some depth, but they're starting to get some separation up at the top. Three major guys.
Yeah, you start with Jeff Hierman, Virgil Green, AJ Derby. You can really kind of go with any of these three guys as a potential starter. It may well be a tight end by committee, but they each bring something different to the table. Let's start with A.J. Derby, who's certainly the best pass catcher of the three, converted quarterback, of course, at Arkansas. Broncos traded for him last year. You could see in the one-on-one drills during practice on Saturday, had some nice moves. I really like the battles that he had with Darian Stewart in one-on-one. You know, he'd do kind of a shoulder shake that would sometimes get some separation from Stewart, but Stewart, a real savvy veteran, would kind of have, you know, some counter moves of his own, but Derby will make some catches. Had a real nice catch in double coverage from Paxton Lynch on Saturday. Jeff Hierman, this is a key camp for him. Third round pick back in 2015, lost his rookie year to a torn ACL. Struggled last year, had some injuries coming out of the blocks in 2016. He's got to make a move this summer. Crucial camp for him. I think what he does in the preseason games may well tell the tale of what his role ends up being. And Virgil Green, this is his seventh year with the Broncos, the former seventh round pick. You know what you're going to get from him, a dependable blocker, a guy who has a lot of power on the inside. He can make grabs in traffic, and he just always seems to find a way to have a role. And of course, because he has been here so long, he has been in Mike McCoy's offense before, so he has the advantage of knowing the scheme.
A lot of options for the Broncos in that tight ends room. Before you go, Mace, we have to talk quarterbacks, yeah, don't we? Every single day. Today, it looked like Trevor, very consistent. Paxton had his moments, but also some mistakes. So it kind of evened out. Is that what you saw?
I would say so. And certainly Trevor Siemian, I thought this was his best day so far. Very sharp. Did very well getting downfield in 7-on-7. Hit Emmanuel Sanders deep up the left sideline twice. That got the fans over on the berm really excited. Was really pushing the ball downfield very well. Paxton Lynch, some consistency issues. Missed some throws underneath that you would want to see him make. But also, maybe had the nicest single throw of the day. It was in 7-on-7. The aforementioned pass to Derby. Beat double coverage. Very narrow window. A lot of zip on that ball. Only Derby could get to it. Allowed him to outleap the defenders for it. So kind of very typical that, you know, Trevor Siemian had a lot of, had better consistency. Paxton Lynch up and down, but a single great throw. They're both doing a lot of good things. I think the positives are outweighing the negatives for both. So it still looks like a pretty close competition at this point.
They do their best work in front of a crowd. You do your best work on the airwaves, Mace. When can we hear you next?
Yeah, 8 to 9:30 a.m. Sunday morning. So set your alarms, or if you're out and about, tune to Orange and Blue 760 if you're in the Denver area. If you're anywhere else, go to orangeandblue760.com or on the iHeart app. You can listen. And it'll be myself and Corey Lopez taking you through the morning right up to the start of practice. And then he'll take you through until 1 p.m. with plenty of chatter from the practice field.
So you're going to get your fill of Mace tomorrow morning. But if you want to hear him through the weekdays, Monday through Friday from 3 to 7, Orange and Blue Radio or the iHeart Radio app. Back now with Phil Milani. We got to bring in the closer to close out the show.
Yeah, come in and close it out. Mariano Rivera.
Exactly, exactly.
Play the Sandman. Let's go.
We're going to look at day four right now and see, you know, this is the first time that full pads come on. How does that change the atmosphere for practice?
Well, I think that tomorrow we can expect a huge crowd to come out there. It's Sunday. Maybe the weather will be a little bit nicer, and then now we're going to see some real football. It was interesting. Today, C.J. Anderson said, hey, we had the pads on.
Right.
I'm not sure how much it changes when the full pads are on, but I'm sure that the hitting and the pad popping will get a little bit more intense tomorrow.
Yeah, real football is what some of the guys called it, so it will definitely be interesting once Sunday morning comes around. But until then, please check out denverbroncos.com. We have wall-to-wall training camp coverage. We're going to get you caught up on everything. But until tomorrow morning, we bid you goodbye from the UC Health Training Center. For Phil Milani, I'm Matt Boyer. Everybody have a great night.